God, these seats suck. Couldn't you have at least sprung for business class seating, Dave?
Or for tickets on a better airline.
I'm sorry, guys. This is all I could find at such short notice.
We could have just drove. I got this bitchin' war rig now. Awesome sound system. Twin minigun turrets. We could have rode up to the Michael Bay Film Festival in style.
Yeah, instead we're showing up on Spirit Airlines.
I'll make it up to you next year, guys. I promise.
Why do we even go to these anyway? They only ever show the Transformers movies.
Because this year they're showing The Rock, Ryan. And if I have to sit through 9 Transformers movies to see Nicolas Cage and Sean Connery in 35mm, then so be it. Now, I...
Calm down, ladies and gentlemen. If you stay quiet and do as we say, you will all get out of this alive.
Is that... Nick?
Yeah, it looks like it. What the hell?
Oh, God, we just had to fly Spirit, didn't we?
In the not-too-distant future of the neo-post-apocalypse, a group of movie fans, led by their charismatic but oafish leader Dave, brings the lost art of cinema back to the wasteland.
Simple. The occupation of Lord Morton of the Wasteland can only be served by one man, and that is I. It is my birthright to have ceaseless access to a private screening room with both 35 and 70 millimeter projection capabilities for every minute. My demands are not met. I will subject the passengers of this flight to one terrible film after another. Ever heard of a movie called Clockwork Orange? No, it's a good film and one they will not see. But remember how he's forced to watch with his eyes pried open? You don't think I'm serious? In that case, we'll start with 1992's Wesley Snipes die-hard ripoff, Passenger 57. Yes, that's right. It's the one with a paltry 30% rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh my God!
This is not a bluff. Should you not take me serious, your skies will be graced by the falling bodies of people jumping out to free themselves. Surely the passengers would leap towards death before sitting through an atrocity like this. You have my number. You know my demands. Call me back when you are willing to make a deal.
Nick, what the fuck?
Oh, hey, guys, what are you doing here?
We're on our way to the Michael Bay Film Festival.
Oh, shit, that's right. They're supposed to be playing The Rock in 35mm, aren't they?
After 20 hours of Transformers movies.
Nick, what the hell are you doing?
Oh, right. The hijacking. Look, I'm sorry you guys got roped into this, but I just can't do civilian life anymore. I mean, living among commoners? Watching pixelated internet streams of movies and TV? That's just not me. I can't do it. And if I have to torture 100 or so people on a plane to get my Immortan hood back, then so be it.
Look, Nick, none of us like watching crappy streams of movies. I mean, so-called 4K on streaming is no better than regular old 1080p on Blu-ray at best. But don't you think you're taking things a little too far?
I'm sorry, Ryan. I've made up my mind. There's no going back.
Well... can we at least be exempt from watching these crappy movies?
Oh man, I wish I could, but I can't. You know how it is. If I let one passenger be exempt, next thing you know, Everyone wants to be free of the torture. I'm afraid you'll just have to endure it along with everyone else.
God damn it, Dave! This is all your fault!
Now wait a minute! Hold on. This might not be all bad. Nick, would you be willing to let us record a podcast in between the torture?
Oh, sure. You're my guys. Come on. You know I'd never deny you content.
Well, there you go! It just so happens we had a listener request for Passenger 57 a few months ago. This way we can make a listener happy and make the most of this hijacking situation. What do you say, guys?
That's it. Where the hell's the emergency exit?
Ramsey wants me to hire the best person available to head up the counterterrorism unit. That person happens to be you.
I don't want that responsibility.
You gotta get off the sidelines. You gotta get back into this game.
They finally captured the world's most dangerous hijacker. Now, they're bringing him back for trial on a plane.
Notify my people. They'll know what to do.
That was their first mistake. Once again, Charles Rain is in control.
And how would you like your sirloin, sir?
Bloody.
But there's just one thing he didn't count on.
5, 56, 57.
Passenger 57.
I watch your show all the time.
My show?
Never miss it. Woo, woo, woo!
Who's in charge?
I am.
Once again, who's in charge?
You are.
Wesley Snipes.
No, 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 this is not happening.
You, back to your seat.
I'm free!
His name's John Carter. He's airline security.
Tell me you're good at this.
I'm the best.
Plan not working out the way you want it?
Don't flatter yourself, Carter.
One way or the other, we're going down.
No, just chill out. I'm one of the good guys.
Didn't your father ever teach you never send a boy to do a man's job?
Wesley Snipes.
You need help?
No. He's all mine.
Passenger 57.
You ever play roulette?
On occasion.
Let me give you a word of advice. Always bet on black.
Oh my god. Passenger 57, that was indeed torture. It was, dude, you know it's bad when a movie is only an hour and 24 minutes long with credits and I'm checking like the time on the disc, you know.
I thought it was a fun bad movie and a good request.
Bad movie and a good request. I think I could go with that. I think this movie is more fun probably in a group.
Yeah.
Watching it in the crowd.
Well, you can dunk on it.
You know, watching it on the airplane with everybody else made it worthwhile, but let's
it went to places I didn't expect, you know?
Did it?
It did.
I guess you're right, because I would have expected a movie called Passenger 57 to be mostly on an airplane, not 18 minutes in the middle of the movie on an airplane.
I mean, I guess damn, they went there. They're
What do you mean they went there?
They went off the plane.
I mean, they're like, you know, just taking people out, you know? Just boom.
Yes.
Like, it's pretty scary, I thought,
Yeah.
It doesn't pull any punches in the sense of the hijackers are bad guys. Yeah. Like, the guy in question, what's his name again? Mr. Payne?
No, it's Charles Rain, played by Bruce Payne.
Oh,
which
my God.
I just want to say that when I saw his name showed up in the opening credits, I was like, holy shit, Damodar is in this? The heavy from the Dungeons & Dragons movie of 2000?
Oh, my
God. He's in this movie? Jacob Kell, the villain, Highlander Endgame? He's in it?
He's also the replacement warlock. He was the warlock in Warlock 3.
Can we talk? All right, let's just start with this, because I did have this. I took some notes, you know. I got the back of a barf bag and my pen that I always carry around on me, and I was writing some notes. And can we just have a Bruce Payne corner? Because I think this guy is a good villain. He's like a great villain like actor always. He shows up. I've never seen him be a good guy ever. I've never seen him be, you know, a good dude. He's always an intense villain.
Before we acquaint ourselves with the villain of the movie, let's acquaint the listeners with who we are.
I thought you were going to say let's talk about the hero, and I was like, but why? The movie doesn't care about the hero.
See, this episode's already subverting expectations. Usually when Cody's on, he's the one who has to tell me, should we introduce the people to who we are, Dan?
Yeah, my bad. The whole plane of this all really got into my head.
I know the hum is really messing with my mind, yeah. The hum of the engines, but I'm your host, Dave. This is kind of an impromptu episode of Apocalypse Video, recorded on Spirit Airlines Flight 32. I'm joined again by my co-pilots, Ryan.
Dave, never mention my childhood. we could do this. How about we all do it at the same time? Repeat after me. Charles Payne is not sane.
I'm afraid the most we can hope for is that I claim insanity for you. Given your childhood history, we should be able to make that stick.
Never mention my childhood. Have I made myself clear?
Yeah.
It is the nature of man to confuse genius with insanity.
Charles Ray is not insane.
Again.
Charles Ray is not insane.
Continue.
Charles Ray is not insane.
What a movie.
I love it. I don't know. This is great.
Ryan was like, can we watch it
this
again?
Most notes I've taken in months for this show. Most of my notes are like two things, and now this is like a whole page. This is the first time I've ever done it.
This Passenger 57 turned out to be the one movie that Ryan has like five pages of notes for.
I think this is what the show was born for, you know?
We're also joined by Cody.
It is the nature of man to confuse genius with insanity.
Cody, you ever play roulette?
Yeah, sometimes.
Well, let me give you some free advice. Always bet on black. Wow! That's the most memorable theme for this movie. And the hell of it is, it's so shoehorned in there.
No, there was a moment where maybe we can wait to get to it, but there's a line where I was just like, is this good?
And it was okay, I wonder if it's the same line I thought where I was like, hey, this is all right. Let's just say it. Is it when the Louisiana police chief is like,
put yourself in my place, Mr. Cutter. What would you do if you were me? Kill myself.
Kind of like that. It's when not the stewardess, but the flight attendant says, mm-hmm. Tell me you're good at this. And he turns and goes, I'm the best. I was like, man, I felt it right there.
We get into the bad guy corner, like, the acting is fun B-movie stuff. Wesley Snipes is killing it.
I think that's what this movie has. Wesley Snipes has the juice. And they made this movie, didn't realize what they had, and then in the edit, we're like, oh, this is, okay, we gotta bring this up. And then later movies figured it out and used him better. But he has the juice even now, for sure, 100%.
Because this is like, I mean, he was in like Spike Lee movies before. I don't really know Spike Lee's like history or anything, really. You know, I feel like I got dropped in toward maybe the second half of his career,
Exactly sure. I know that Major League was in 88, and he really popped in that movie. Wesley Snipes was really good in that. Was White Man Can't Jump before this?
White Man Can't Jump, I think, was the same year as this.
Hold on,
let me double check. Let me check the Chattopedia.
You know, say what you will about Spirit Airlines, the Wi-Fi is surprisingly good up here.
Well, I think, you know, Dave, the thing about this is I didn't really know we had planes, and I think we've hit an altitude where I can actually see out the window. I'm not sure the wasteland is all the waste. Oh, never mind. Okay,
what
hold on.
What the hell?
Back to the cloud cover.
Have we been living a lie?
I don't know.
I mean, if Spirit Airlines is still around, I mean, yeah.
Okay, okay. Here we go. Here we go. All right, I pulled up the Chad IMDb. We got, yeah. So his first role was in an episode of he was in TV 1984 of All My Children. He was in an episode of Miami Vice. He really, I think Major League is 1989, and that's kind of his big thing.
89, okay.
And then New Jack City is 1991, and White Man Can't Jump and Passenger 57 are both 92.
Wow,
so,
okay.
Big,
so
a big 92 for him.
I'd say.
Wow.
Yeah, well, and honestly.
Kind of his big year.
Well, I guess
after,
yeah.
After this, he starts blowing up. I mean, then he has a couple action movies, Rising Sun and Boiling Point and Demolition Man in 93.
Oh, God. You know. Dude, Demolition Man's a year after this. 1 year later, he's just fucking tearing it up in Demolition
Man.
They
used to be able to make movies really fast, it turns out.
Yeah.
And honestly, we haven't covered Demolition Man, have we?
Oh, we need to.
It's
we haven't,
up
and we need
because
to.
I would agree with Ryan. I heard Ryan muttering this when he was going back to the bathroom, that this is... This is so in the zone for Apocalypse Video. This is the kind of movie we should be covering on the show more. Not necessarily The Passion of the Christ, though I'm glad, David, that you went through the Stations of the Cross and that Ryan was there to guide you on this pilgrimage through to find, you know, what is it, Absolution, whatever. But anyways, yeah, Wesley Snipes.
Well, yeah, and so wait, before I guess, who was the, do you have the listener who recommended it?
It was Sean Martin.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I mean, I think this is great. I mean, even though I think he knew the assignment, the juice with the recommend for this show, that's why I think it's pretty, I appreciate it. Because it was a short. I didn't find it long. I thought it was, there was a part where I had no patience for. I said, one of my notes is, I have no patience for hillbilly nonsense. And so that was one thing
Yeah, when that came in out of nowhere, I'm like, why is this in the movie?
I know. And that's a whole, the second, like, half
of the
movie.
Yeah, and so that's where it kind of dropped. But I was into it the first chunk. Even though it was cheesy, and there was things that were cheesy and tropey, but I was just like, this is kind of fun, and, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was the moment that kind of left my soul, though, was hillbilly nonsense.
Yeah.
And that happened in the Bond movies. It's a thing, you know. Which Bond movies were they? There was a two in a row that had that.
It was Live and Let Die and Man with the Golden Gun. Okay. Sheriff J.W. Peppa. Cody just did a facepalm.
Yeah, J.W. Peppa.
And it's him speaking by the by.
All right, so anyways, Bruce Payne. He's the villain of this movie. He's not Passenger 57, which I would think is it.
That's
the name
I
of the, the title of the movie, he should be Passenger 57, right?
Yeah.
Like... It
well,
is so. This,
yeah.
Go. Because otherwise, the whole thing, the whole beat is she's counting our good friend Marty Marty, the air hostess. She counts the passengers, and he's 57. You know, Wesley Snipes' character, John Cutter. Which, to be clear, John Cutter is an incredible name for a hero.
Oh yeah.
Honestly, definitely. top marks for that. I wish everybody else in this movie had as good a name as John Cutter. but yeah, she's just like 57, and that's it. He's passenger 57, and he's passenger 57 for all of 17 minutes. The first, like, he's on the plane at minute 22, and I think minute 23, and then he rolls off the wheels at minute 40. And you're like, oh, okay, that was the plane part of this movie.
I know.
You know, they come back at the end for a little bit, which is good for another action scene, but it's just wild how much is not on the plane. But anyways, Bruce Payne. He is Charles Rain. He is a freaking terrorist,
this
man.
This guy's crazy.
He's crazy.
Hannibal Lecter.
A crazy introduction, too. He's about to get plastic surgery.
Yes.
The bastard keeps changing his face. We can't find him.
But do you think he knew that he was going to get caught right there?
It seemed like he did, which raised the question, like, why is he even there?
Yes. Yes. This felt to me like Bruce Payne's character. Like, it felt to me like Charles Rain was, you know, he's the beginning of the, you know, 2008 Dark Knight Joker character. All of this is in his plan. He knows he's going to get caught so that he's already, like, because I feel like, why would he get caught here? Oh, he got caught here so he can more easily hijack a plane that has enough gas and fuel, and it's a big enough plane to take him to the Middle East where he has all these ties. Otherwise, it doesn't make any sense.
It's crazy the lengths he goes to. If that's the case, it's crazy the lengths he goes to because he full-on jumps out of, like, a 10-story window.
Wild, yeah. Thank God for that umbrella, because, yeah, he bolts it. When all the SWAT guys show up from their little vans with the little black SWAT letters, and they all have little machine guns in their hand, and they're like, oh,
yes.
Yeah.
That was the moment I had, like, Ryan, where I'm like, is this movie good?
Yeah.
And also, it's funny, this movie ratchets things up a notch in the beginning. Usually, like, you know, when you have like a car chase or something, there's usually something that invariably at one point or another they run through a thing of like cardboard boxes. Mm-hmm. But this movie raises it up a step by having big old water jugs.
That's right. That's
oh
right.
Yeah, yep. He let the water jugs like stop him.
It stops him. He's like, ah.
Have you ever tried to run through a stack of those? It's impossible.
These damn Arrowhead got in the way, you know.
Yeah. At the time, though, it was probably
Crystal,
right? I didn't
count on Arrowhead.
Crystal.
So he gets caught, right? And then he comes into his... First of all, he's walking through the jail, and the other prisoners are yelling some insane things about how he's a beautiful woman, and they want to meet him. And then he meets with his lawyer, and we have so many, rapid-fire, just like, this is wild lines. Oh, that's right. He's being charged with 2 airline bombings. Twice that amount. Oh, so 4? Just say 4. Twice that amount to go from 2 to 4 is not cool.
Yeah, there was like a moment when I'm like, wait a minute. I mean, I know that that's a terrible thing, but it's only going from 2 to 4.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound
twice
as
that amount.
It makes
that
sense.
4.
Yeah. And then, yes, he has this whole rundown with, you know, his lawyer's like, it's cool, man. I can get you off on insanity for sure. This is going to be really easy. Charles Rain proceeds to beat the hell out of him and then makes him say after him, Charles Rain is not insane.
He, like, puts his finger in his mouth at one point, doesn't he? Like,
fish hooks him? Probably, yeah.
Is this all before Snipes is introduced?
Yes, this is all before Snipes is introduced. Because then, after this, is when we get to what we think is a scene on a plane, and then a hostage situation comes out. And what? Wesley Snipes is the hijacker? That's crazy. I didn't expect that in this movie. Nah, just kidding. He's an instructor of some sort. If you look on the Chattopedia, they say that he's, like, ex-police, ex-secret service, Black Ops Special Forces.
He's everything, man.
But as far as I know in this movie, they don't say that, right? Like, I didn't miss them.
I feel like every time he's talking to somebody, he's something else or something.
Right?
Yes.
It seems like he has a different past. 100%.
Hey, I'm not a former anything.
Yeah, it's just
like just a cop, I guess. I don't know.
It's so weird, dude.
But
yeah, like, he has a flashback later on, Snipes, where it's like, I guess he was a cop, and he, like, tries to foil this liquor store robbery, and his girlfriend gets killed, or his wife, rather.
Yeah. And
well, what's kind of weird, I felt like, with that simulation is how, like, the simulation with the stewardess that's in she's the one in training for it, I guess, for this.
Yeah.
But it was just interesting, like, after they settle it or whatever, and she says something, like, everybody, all the passengers, like, clap.
They cheer.
Like,
they
cheer.
It. They're like,
and so
it.
I'm like, so they're all in on it. So, like, what's the simulation? Like, it was just, like, I don't know.
It was...
Like,
yeah.
What are they all for? Like, what are all those people for if this for the simulation? If they all are know what's going on?
I think there are other people. It doesn't make any sense. I think it doesn't make any sense.
I was trying to, like, figure out, like, how if they do this. Maybe they do this
Like,
yeah, how
they
do they
hire
go about
just, like, day rate people, like, hey,
it
come in.
It was also funny, too, because, like, the whole facade of the inside of this plane is inside a building, which is, I guess, inside a training compound?
It is inside the Atlantic International Airlines, like, training center place, where Wesley Snipes' I think friend Tom Sizemore, who plays Sly Delvecchio,
the way he's grown is
as
very
hell, this movie. His hair, man,
like, it's funny because, like, it's like he just appears in the 2-shot with Snipes, like, the way they kind of, like, cut back together with it. It's like back and forth between the stewardess, or, like, I keep saying that, the flight attendant, Snipes, flight attendant, and then Sizemore's there, like, next to him.
It's almost like it almost felt like a you know, this is a simulation. It almost seemed like Sizemore's would be like, turn off the hologram.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, like, yeah. It's
the
little,
way he walks in is so weird.
It's a little wild. And
what's his name in this movie?
His name is Sly Delvecchio, which apparently, according to, as the Action Boys would say, the sauna, according to the IMDb trivia, that's because they were trying to get, they wrote this movie for Sylvester Stallone to be John Cutter.
Oh my God. Okay. I read in the trivia, at one point this was originated as a movie for Clint Eastwood.
Honestly, I just don't understand.
That what I read was just like a guy, it said like a guy liked Clint Eastwood and stuff. It's like,
oh,
which guy is Clint Eastwood? Like, I don't, like, what other guy is that? Like, it's like that, you know.
All right. Because this does get a little wild, I'll pull up the plot from Chattopedia and we'll go through that. How about that?
Okay. And while you do that, let me prep up. I'll pull a little bit of the soft elevator jazz
perfect,
music
yeah.
from the movie to as a little underbed.
I would love to have flashback 90s Thriller sax playing all the time. No, this is honestly, It's a long summary on Chattopedia. So, yeah, we already covered British international terrorist and narcotics kingpin. I don't realize that there was anything to do with narcotics, but whatever.
No, neither did I.
Charles, and that's why I'm like, where is this all coming from? Is this from the back of a box? Is this like one of those things where it's like, oh, there's a bunch of story that really isn't in the movie, but we had to make sure people know it because it's like...
He also killed his dad.
It's in the script, you know? I don't know. It's so strange. Yeah, widowed law enforcement veteran John Cutter has served an honorable career as a reputable police officer, decorated soldier, and reliable Secret Service agent.
What?
None of those things are clear in this movie. Even if you say, like, when in the flashback that he was a cop, I don't necessarily believe it because based off what we see, he's a security guy for the airline. Yeah. So it's like, I'd believe this guy has a gun on him all the time. He was clearly something.
What are those
people
called, like, that get on planes, like marshals or whatever?
Air marshals.
Air marshals, yeah, which it's weird. I guess this was before air marshals, which is very strange. That in 1992, this movie talks about it like, oh, man, planes are getting hijacked left and right. And it's like... Were they? I'd believe it because 1992 was when I was young enough to not pay attention to the news at all, and then maybe they somehow curbed this, you know, before a certain thing happened later.
What was that?
They make it seem like it's one of those things, like, you almost expect, like, some text at the beginning of the movie. Every 5 minutes, a plane is hijacked.
Yes, yes, honestly, because that's, like, yeah, that's how they frame it. They're just like, oh, yeah, it's just a cost of doing business. Every major airline has had a hijacking in the last 6 months. And you're just like, what the fuck? Is that true? Or is that a part, and this is just me, you know, thinking, was this script written in the 80s and there were a ton more hijackings at a certain point? And so it's like a holdover. It's like, no, mostly like it stopped. But maybe there were. I don't know. You know what? I'll fucking pull that up too. How many?
I'm surprised like this isn't, because you mentioned this in the intro. It's sort of, you know, very definitely post Die Hard kind of thing. One of the things though, like, so the title Passenger 57 makes it sound like this is just like a normal guy on an airplane, like
yes.
It's Die Hard. It's fucking Bruce Willis, like just like in the wrong situation.
A normal guy who knows Hapkido.
But it's one of those things, like this guy, like we see, like he does. He's a Superman. He does everything. He knows karate. He's a this. He's that. Blah 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 blah. And he's just like,
I love that they have that little flashback. Well, it's not a flashback. He's remembering his wife getting shot, and he's like practicing. He's like Steven Seagal. He's got like the little incense burning and stuff. Mm-hmm.
Right. So. Okay, that's after the training sequence, right? Real quick to answer before we get back to the plot, Ryan, did you finish your thought?
Yeah, just like I think the idea implies and the way it's set up is that this is just like maybe we'd be surprised about this guy's past.
Yes, because Passenger 57 sounds so innocuous. It's just another guy on the manifest, but no. He's in fact whatever. No, this guy is he's custom built for this exact scenario. Yeah. So it's kind of like
exactly.
It's kind of weird to then see him, in my opinion, do what seems to be a bad job. But we'll get.
Well,
to that.
It's also one of those things too, is that it's almost implied like that Sizemore put him on that plane because the other guy is, but then he's like, I had no idea. So it's
right,
like it's a coincidence that he's on
the
there.
Surprise was that it was going to be with the flight attendant who is the one in the class who he said afterwards, he's like, oh, Sly, Tom Sizemore says, she reminds me a lot of Lisa. And then John Cutter's like, oh, she doesn't look anything like Lisa. And Sizemore's like, hey, I didn't say she looked like her. I said she reminded me
of
her.
Well, and at one point later in the movie when they're in it, like when they're getting down to the bottom of the plane, he refers to her as Lisa. Yeah, she's like, who's Lisa?
And sure, that all works. Real quick, airline hijackings. In 1992, there was 11.
Oh, wow.
In 1991, there was 20. In 1990, there was 38.
Wow, there was a lot then.
So this is ripped from the headlines.
And this is, you know, over time, it was obviously decreased. In the 60s and 70s, they were way more common with over 305 incidents between 1968 and 1972.
Holy cow.
So it did decrease a lot.
So it did decrease mostly because John Cutter got the job that he was after. So,
well, yeah. Some anti-terrorist guys on the planes. You know?
Okay, so real quick. Right, he, John Cutter, he does this, lies like, come on, I set up a meeting with the president, you know, with, what's his name, Bruce Greenwood.
Which, when his name popped up in the credits, I
was
literally went,
one scene?
Ooh, Bruce Greenwood!
No, he was in, like, two or three, because he pops up later. I agree, Dave, when this during the credits, I was like, this cast is insane. Elizabeth Hurley.
Elizabeth
is in
Hurley.
This movie.
I was like, ooh.
You know, me great. Too. I said, holy moly, when she appeared. I was just like,
yeah.
My eyes popped out of my head.
All the people in front of us in the front row, they were like, can you stop it?
I was kicking the seats, yeah.
Yeah, you're kicking the seats with your. Well, because your eyeballs shot out of your face. They hit the back of the seat so hard. So Cutter, after the class, right, he's like, oh, you failed. In a hijacking situation, you give them whatever you want, otherwise they die. He talks to Sly. Sly says, hey, man, I got a job for you. Just come to the meeting tomorrow. I think you should. It'd be good for you. Okay, Sly goes back to his house.
In one of the worst edited scenes I have ever seen in my life. I don't know how much footage was cut, but like the camera's like rotating around them, and then there's like a fade, and then like the meeting starts, a fade, and then it's ending. It's like, so we want you to be the vice president
of
blah, blah, blah.
We're not there yet, because I do want to talk about that. So after that scene of like, I have the meeting set up, that's when we go to Cutter's dojo loft, which I think maybe the listener who suggested this is what reminded him of Roadhouse, because Roadhouse, yes. He has his barn dojo loft apartment. Similarly, Cutter.
And I love this scene because he's literally, it's cut as if he's fighting his flashback.
Yes, yes, yes. Because it goes front, he's like, he's sitting, he's meditating, he's burning some incense, he's, you know, getting into it, and then it cuts to black and white. Oh, he's in the grocery store with Lisa, And then he's just pounding the hell out of that speed bag, and then the guy's like, oh, you shouldn't have stopped me in the first place. Kills Lisa. Oh my God, that's terrible. That's what happened. Cutter shows up for the meeting. It appears to be he's being offered a vice president role, but was it clear that it was for an anti-terrorism unit?
I don't know.
I only heard the words vice president. I was like, is he, like, did he just get promoted from this to this?
I was like surprised, like, Sizemore, when he called, there's one point where he calls him on the plane when it's starting to get hijacked, and he's like working for the airlines. I guess it was in the beginning too, but I just, like, I got my wires crossed with him, and yeah. I thought he was separate or...
Well, it's crazy too, because after the simulation on the in the training center, Sizemore's really giving it to Snipes. He's like, quit fucking around and get back in the game.
Yeah. You know? And the game is, I'm not sure it's being secure. Okay. You know, it's there's the thought I had at this moment, I was like, this movie has a ton of shoe leather for a movie that if this was made in like 2008, minute five they're on the plane. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like it's like what Ryan says, Pastor 57. We don't need to know anything about the fucking hero before the plane hits, and then before we're on the plane with the villain.
What, Cody?
hits turbulence in the air when the bad guys attack. Cutter accepts the offer at the meeting. He's like, yeah, okay, I'll be a vice president of, according to the Chattopedia, it's the anti-terrorism unit for the company. Again, I didn't get that. I thought it was just vice president.
And Bruce Greenwood, he's the head of
Atlantic International Airlines.
Atlantic International is like, we're having too many damn hijackings. It's got to stop.
Yeah. And he's right. And so he says, okay, I want to fly you out to Los Angeles. Cutter gets on the plane.
That's when Sizemore says he understands black thing.
Dude, hold on. Before that, yes, he's going through the metal detector, and he has all sorts of stuff. And then the lady who's working is, you know, wanding him down with the metal detector. She then has to give him a physical pat down. And she says, you can go through with your friend. Is she talking about his dick?
It seems as if she like caresses. They really focus on his crotch area when she's waving the wand.
I'm just curious. I'm just asking these questions is all. And then yes, because then right after that, Tom Sizemore like says, "How do you do that? How do you, you're not even doing anything and you're getting hit on or whatever?" And Wesley Snipes says it's a black thing. And then Tom Sizemore says, "I understand black things. I'm your brother." This movie's fucking crazy.
These guys, they're giving it all, like Sizemore and stuff. Like, you believe them, you know? He's a slimy guy, you know?
I just don't know, man. There's so many... This movie makes so many moments of Wesley Snipes being black that I'm like, I don't understand. Yeah,
oh, God. Later on, when he's on the plane, the lady, like, thinks he's
Arsenio
Hall.
Yeah,
oh, my
yeah,
God.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Wait till I tell everyone that I sat next to you on the plane. I watch your show all the time.
My show.
Never miss it. Woo, woo, woo. And I just love it when you do those jokes about things that make you go, hmm.
It's weird, man. So they get on the plane. He realizes, oh, hey, it's Marty Slayton, the student who I said, you know, who I fucking failed in front of everybody, tore her down because she didn't listen to the hijackers. You know, I see what this is. And it turns out that John Cutter is bad at flying. He doesn't like flying. He asks her to check on him regularly. He asks for, like,
which
an
IV doesn't really come into play later in the
doesn't
movie.
Doesn't make sense.
At all.
Doesn't come up later. Who fucking cares?
Nope.
I think there's a lot of stuff in this movie where they're like, and this is a thing, right? And you're like, I guess. Are you going to do anything
it's
with
like
it?
They, it's like no. Someone's like, hey, you know what they do in action movies that makes the hero more relatable? They're like afraid of a thing. You know what I mean? Like Indiana Jones is afraid of snakes. We should put that in. But
yeah.
Then it never pays off.
It's so strange. And so.
Well, it's a Die Hard ripoff. They're like, in Die Hard, he was afraid of flying. We got to put that in here.
Genius. Perfect. Okay. At that moment, she comes around, counts everybody. Okay, Passenger 57. There it is. That's the title. It's because he is, in fact, Passenger 57. All right, who fucking cares?
I know.
That doesn't mean anything.
And he is reading
he's reading The Art of War. And he goes, in 8 years, I'm going to make a movie. Take off. The plane lifts off, and that's right. Only 1 hour left in this movie? How are we just now getting to this plane? Whatever, it doesn't matter. At this point, we also see Rain is brought onto the plane, and there's a kid named Norman who shoots guns at him.
I literally have my notes. It's a kid named Norman.
Kid named Norman. Because, I mean, you gotta remember Norman. Because he's a little freak shooting people
on
the plane.
Yeah, he's doing finger guns with Hannibal.
With the bad guy. And then
the bad guy does double finger guns back at him. I have, like, an invisibility cloak or something like that that makes me impervious to bullets and snakes.
Pardon me, stewardess?
Yes?
Is that man with the handcuffs dangerous?
There's nothing to worry about, madam. Right now, he's as safe as this handsome little boy. What's your name, huh?
Norman. If he tries to do something bad, I'll shoot him.
Oh, what if he shoots back?
I also have a secret decoder ring that protects you from bullets and spiders. But I left it at home.
Yeah, when Norman says, if he tries to do something bad, I'm going to shoot him. Damn, just... Okay,
wow. I'm surprised. Like, I was honestly expecting. I'm surprised it was finger guns. This is 1992. He probably could have just brought a toy gun on board.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, okay. And this is all happening. Cutter is afraid of flying, you know. And also, as they get on the plane.
Oh, yeah, we also mentioned that the simulation lady is on the plane, too.
Yeah, that's Marty Slayton. Yeah, she's the one that he tore down in front of everybody. Okay. He did, because she failed in by his estimation. They take off. He goes to the bathroom, and you're like, oh, okay. At that moment, I was like, okay, I do believe that this guy's actually afraid of flying. And also, then the attack happens, and he seems afraid. He seems at first like he is frazzled by this hijacking. And then that immediately gets thrown away out the window. He's actually ready to fucking kill everybody.
It's like, I didn't see the reveal that Elizabeth Hurley was one of the, did you?
You didn't see that coming?
I did not see it coming. I was just like, holy shit. She like pulls out like
they
a fucking.
They could have set it up even more. It's like, oh, you should always trust your first impression. You know what I mean?
I'm Sabrina Ritchie, by the way. How do you do? Marty Slayton. Sabrina, what a beautiful name. It's a thing most wondrous to be flattered by one of your peers.
Ooh, and I love the accent, too.
Between you and me, I've been trying to lose it for years. It makes me sound cold and heartless.
Actually, now that you mention it.
Always trust your first impression.
I have a feeling this is going to be a very interesting flight.
I certainly hope so.
I did not see it. I was blinded by the light.
You were bedazzled.
I was bedazzled. I was telling you.
Ryan is sitting there saying like, ooh, I think I saw my next ex-wife.
Yeah.
No, I was literally that. She had me freaking tricked. Like, I was just like, that is the most beautiful woman in the world.
She can't possibly be bad.
Well, it almost seemed, you could tell the movie itself was like, holy cow, Elizabeth Hurley is very attractive.
Because literally every character remarks on it. Yeah. Marty says
every
something like, oh, you're beautiful and
like,
nice. Woof. The fucking FBI is like, I'm gonna fuck her, ooga. And then Rain says basically the same thing.
I was just like, Vanessa. That was Austin right there, you know? Shagadelic, baby, yeah.
Yeah, and again, people on the plane really hate when you say Shagadelic that much.
it was uncomfortable when Elizabeth Hurley popped up on screen and Ryan jumped up in his seat and stuck his ass out like, do I make you horny, baby? It's like, Ryan, sit down. You're embarrassing us.
Yeah, and then
she
you know,
pulls
one
out
of Nick's
a fucking silencer and takes out all the guys, the FBI.
Which, okay, real quick, did you guys catch that when she shoots the first one, you can see behind her the other guy already has all the blood on his face?
Oh no, I didn't.
Oh really?
I'll send a screenshot because I took a picture. I was like,
oh my god.
She pulls the gun out on the one right next to him, blasts him, and when she does that, you can see the guy who she shoots second, who's sitting next to her upright, already looking at her like, oh, and he's got blood all over his face.
It must be like, yeah, it didn't work in the edit or something.
Because then she turns, shoots him, and then it goes back to the like her pointing in the middle, and so it's like, yeah, they cut it to death. It's so funny.
If I could thirst along with Ryan here for a second, like there was something like eerily sexy about Elizabeth Hurley with like a gun and a silencer like this, you know what I mean, holding it up. I'm like, damn, she is sexy with that gun.
Honestly,
but we never saw
I'm kind
Norman
of surprised
again
she wasn't
that.
That's true. That's what we do at the end. We see him and his mom get off the plane in Louisiana, yeah. But I'm actually surprised that we don't see more, and maybe it's just, you know, me not knowing. I don't think I did Elizabeth Hurley do a lot of action movies.
I don't think so. I mean, she was not really. I think she was a model, like someone that got picked up, you know, to be from modeling.
Oh, what?
And didn't really catch on probably till Austin Powers, I'm guessing, really.
Right? Yeah.
I think she was in some movies in the late 80s. She was in one movie with John Malkovich. I can't remember what it was called, but it was like a Victorian age movie or something. But
interesting.
Maybe it was the early 90s. I can't remember, but.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Anyways, so the movie continues. You know, they've taken over the plane. She hijacks it. And what happens?
Kills both
next,
the FBI
really?
Agents rather quickly.
Oh yeah, handles them. There's also we've also seen at this point a lot of other people either getting on the plane or moving into the plane as workers who are clearly bad guys. Yeah. There's a guy down in the galley who's sending stuff up. He sends up the case with the silencer after Elizabeth Hurley calls and says, "Oh, you know, we need special service." And Ryan's still just like, "What could
we
it
get
mean?"
That great line when she's putting in the food orders and she asks Ray, "Like, how would you like your steak?" Bloody.
Well, that was what that was.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, can we just talk about the airline food in the early 90s? Steak? Holy cow.
Well, you never know what
I mean, it
would have like,
been good steak, but still.
Yeah, yeah.
Now you get, you can't get peanuts on an airplane these days, these woke airlines.
It's like pretzels, right?
Well, here in the wasteland, they give you bugs. I'm a big fan of the cricket poppers myself, but, you know, what are you going to do? Okay.
High in protein, though. They're pretty good.
So the bad guys take over, including Mr. Forge, Mr. Forget, of course. Honestly, Mr. Forget is a cool name, and so that they keep saying Forge sucks. I think it's so dumb. Forge. It's like, we get it. It's because remember, she's Marty's like, oh, Mr. Forget is, and he's like, it's French, Forge. Or no, it was Elizabeth Hurley character who does it at the beginning, which is interesting. Anyways, they take over. Wesley Snipes, John Cutter, he runs to the bathroom. He's like, oh shit, not today. I hate this, not today. Calls, you know, he calls his buddy. And he and Marty run down to the galley. They start a fight. There's some hand-to-hand combat and stuff. And then the
passenger gets killed.
A passenger gets iced because John, this is the thing. Wesley Snipes,
he's not good.
John Cutter starts the movie and he's like, you do whatever they say. And then the first thing that pops off, he doesn't. He goes completely against it. And so I was like, what the fuck is, like, what's his arc? Is his arc that she was right the whole time? Because that's not what happens. It's, I don't know. He
roundhouse kicks the guy who goes to catch him in the bathroom and he pulls a gun on him.
It's so lost in the sauce that I'm like, maybe this beginning chunk of the movie before he was on the flight just didn't need to happen. Because all it does is add some confusion to things. And maybe, like, in the edit, Ryan, as you said, maybe stuff didn't come together in the edit because they have that fucking guy with the blood all over his face in the background. Maybe they're like, oh, we don't have enough juice in this movie on the plane. Let's add some stuff ahead of time.
Mm. It's crazy because at this point in the movie, they go down to the galley and they're, like, under the plane. I'm just like, where else can they go? This is the moment when I'm like, if I'm the screenwriter, it's like, maybe we should set this somewhere else because they're on a plane. There's only so
that's
many
what they
places
end up doing.
You can go.
Well, and then, and then they go to the avionics unit, and that's where she's like, I need you to tell me that you're good at this. And he's like, I'm the best. And I'm like, damn, this guy has the juice. But at this point, I do not believe that his character is the best because he immediately took somebody hostage. The other guy killed a fucking passenger and then killed his own guy. And upstairs, meanwhile, they're like, okay, we're about to execute like five guys or whatever. It's like Wesley Snipes does not do a good job
at
all.
But it's also just like, it's crazy because like a decent chunk of time passes before they go down and get him. It's like they know where he went. It's not a mystery.
Yeah. Well, I think it's because the only way down there is either off the plane from outside, like you come up through the back, or the elevator.
Maybe they're afraid he'd shoot at him or something.
And the elevator is supposed to just be used to like put cases up and stuff. So when they come down in the elevator, remember he goes to try and lock it. He's like, hey, I need a knife or something to jam in it. And then the guy's, okay, I assume that's what he's doing. Who fucking knows? And then he proceeds to fight this guy who doesn't particularly look threatening physically in any way. But
not
has a
at
knife.
All. Oh my God. This is the moment when the first moment when Wesley Snipes unleashes his martial arts skills. And he's fighting a guy that looks so ill-equipped to deal with this.
He just kicks the shit out of a lot of guys.
He kicks the hell out of him, which is cool.
Yeah.
But it is weird that it's like, hey, you're impressive, John Cutter, Wesley Snipes. Your skills are impressive. You should be fighting someone who, in beating him, amps you up further. It's just like wrestling, right? In pro wrestling, you try and give all you get the wrestlers to give each other heat. When they fight each other, if someone's big and the other one's bigger, then all of a sudden that heat transfers of like, no, this guy's the baddest guy. What we saw was Wesley Snipes beat up a fucking weaselly little worm with a knife. Okay. Okay.
I know, and the movie makes it seem like, oh God, he's got a knife now. Wesley Snipes is in trouble. You're like, no, he's not.
I guess maybe in 1992, you're like, I don't know who Wesley Snipes is. And then you're like, holy hell.
I don't know.
He just delivered 16 kicks so fast.
As you mentioned, Wesley Snipes just clearly has the juice in this movie. I mean, the moment he goes into his martial arts stance, you're like, this fucking wiener guy has no chance.
Yeah, no shot.
The sound effect with the kick is pretty gnarly. It's his Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
Is that,
yeah.
So.
Definitely.
Snipes kick.
So
and he goes, and he gets a little one-liner in too. He's like, "When you gotta go, you gotta go." And he punches him through this wall or something.
Yeah, there's a lot of one-liners that, like, at times I'm like, "Damn, they thought they had something here," and they
there's a couple times though, not they connect. Almost
had it. Yes, there's a couple times they almost had it. And then right after this is then, hey, always bet on black. The musical sting that accompanies that line.
Oh my God.
That was where I was like, hey, that's cool and all, but this movie thinks it's way cooler than it is.
Yes.
Charlie, you ever play roulette?
On occasion.
Well, let me give you a word of advice.
Always bet on black.
That would have made more sense if this was like a hostage situation in a casino or something. Then it would have maybe connected a bit better.
Well,
yes.
The thing is, it's like, if you have this hostage situation, if you're doing Die Hard actually on a plane and not in an airport like Die Hard 2 is and everything.
Yeah.
But like, I think that would be interesting if you just have, like Air Force One is like a really good back and forth on the airplane the whole movie, basically.
Well, and also in Air Force One, like, as I mentioned earlier, it's a plane. There's only so many places you can go. In Air Force One, they frame it as kind of a standoff.
Yeah.
Like, we can't go down there. He can't come up here. You know what I mean? It's sort of like a stalemate, and he's dicking around with stuff under the plane. Like, it's done better in Air Force One.
So, it's interesting that you guys got here, because this was a note I had right after takeoff. When the movie becomes plane mode, my thought was, where does this fit in the hall of plane action movies? Because I'm thinking, and it's like, is this one of the earliest ones? Like, on the timeline. I don't know the timeline of it.
Well, there was like
plane disaster
movies, like airports.
Right, plane disaster movies, but plane action movies.
Action films.
Because I was thinking, like, hey, Con Air, that movie's set on a plane. That movie whips ass. They get off the plane a couple of times. That's fine, but it's mostly on the plane. And then
the only other one I can think of is Delta Force, but that, like, the action doesn't really take place on the plane. Like, that, there's hostages on a plane, and Chuck Norris and Lee Marvin are doing shit elsewhere. You know what I mean? So that doesn't really qualify.
And hearing that Air Force One is, you know, it's all on the plane. Or even a later movie, Red Eye, right? Red Eye's all about the thrill of being on a plane and stuff like that. And it's so.
Flight plane.
Snakes on a plane.
Snakes on a plane.
What about plane?
How can we forget?
Plane?
No, I don't think that one actually made it to the waist. It's just a thought I had, because it's like, if this movie is early on in that lineage, then I think I can forgive a lot of that. But it does feel just like you said, if it's going to be Die Hard on a plane, keep it on the plane. If it's going to do this, like, it felt like that's what they were going to go for, and then they just couldn't figure out how to make it work.
Yeah.
Which is why they get off the plane and just fuck around
which
in a
is
carnival.
Why, which is why,
like, at, that's the worst thing. It's like,
which
that's,
is why know, at minute terrible. 43... At 23 seconds, Cutter is on the ground again. He jumps out of the fucking wheel well, rolls onto it. So the movie was hit with him on the plane for all of 20 minutes up to this point. Okay. Damodar at this point, our boy Damodar is up there, you know, Charles Rain, and he's killing people left and right. Wesley Snipes is continuing to not do a good job, right? He jumps off the plane. He's like, I'm gonna solve this. Guy leaves, and Rain kills like a group of people and then throws them off the plane so that the people in the control tower know he's being
real.
And
they put him in body bags too. It looks like they like put him in body bags and just throw him off the plane.
So it's just like
it's pretty not
okay.
Like we missed this, but like when he kind of goes to the where the pilots are and he's just like, who's in charge here? Just like blows away the pilot. And that's what I was saying. Where this I was like, damn, I didn't expect this like go here. You know, it's pretty brutal. Pretty violent.
I'll ask again. Who's in charge?
Yeah. Oh,
you are.
Yeah. So, yes, I agree. I thought that was
cool.
That's
not cool, but like violent. It was like went there, you know. When
Bruce Payne, mm-hmm. I think Wesley Snipes and Bruce Payne have the juice. I think the two of them are actually good in this movie and could be better in a better movie. The movie just doesn't build up enough around them, if that makes sense. At this point, the other thing that's happening is Cutter, when the hijacking first takes place, Cutter goes into the bathroom, calls his friend. He's like, you got to be joking, da 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 da. And so there's now a little bit of a B plot of Sizemore running around Atlantic International Airlines being like, we got a hijacking situation. We got to take care of this somehow. And at this point, Charles Rain lands the plane with the pilots. They land in a place in Louisiana and they say, hey, you need to refuel us. You need to refuel because we forgot to mention Cutter, messed with the fuel line. So he dumped all the fuel so that the plane would
didn't bet on that. Did you?
That's right. And so he would have to, land. And at this point we go to back to Bruce Greenwood, the CEO, and the CEO's guy is like, it's Charles Rain. He's taken over the plane. And this CEO knows so much about Charles Rain.
They know everything about him. It's wild.
And so I was like, is this normal? Why does he know so much about his strategy?
Is this guy like Osama bin Laden? Like, what the fuck?
And so that's the only thing that makes sense is, I guess, if we think that Charles Rain is specifically known for hijacking planes, he's known for bombings. He's known for bombing two trains.
We know he's done at least four.
At least four planes. And he's bombed like three trains in Europe. Like, so it's like, it's just so weird for the CEO to have that much of like when his underling says it's Charles Rain, and then the CEO just spews out it's his special strategy. He's using it as a cover for something else. You're like, what the fuck? How does this guy know this?
I love that Bruce Greenwood has the line where he's like, why couldn't he have just hijacked a bus or a train or something?
Putting him on a plane. That's what I was just like, if this guy's this crazy, and like they had the whole FBI trying to get him to when he was getting plastic surgery, like he should be locked down.
And I love in that opening scene, the FBI storms this hospital.
I'm just saying, like, this guy seems more, they've established this guy as more dangerous than putting him in a plane with like a kid next to him.
Yeah,
it's I had that thought when he's put on the plane. Apparently, it's set up that the feds just at any point could be like, "We're gonna transport this dangerous prison on a regular flight." You know what I mean? I'm like, why isn't his ass on Con Air?
Yeah, exactly.
It's one of those things. Like, they establish. You're right, Cody. Like, almost adding all that stuff really convolutes the stuff, the action that should be surprising or something.
Yeah,
like it's almost like a. Like, I know Speed is a couple. This is very Speed. Like, I was remembering that. Mm. And you kind of like learn about like the stuff after the fact, after the action starts happening, right? Kind of.
Yeah.
I guess there's a little bit of stuff, but you start
because Speed also has the A plot, B plot of like everybody on the bus and then the crew outside of the bus trying to like get through it.
Speed's a diehard ripoff that works, you know.
But that stuff works better because they're trying to solve a problem like in Speed, like how do we defuse this plane? We got to find out who this bomber is. In this one, like Tom Sizemore and Bob Greenwood already know who the guy is, and they're not really doing anything.
And it doesn't seem like Cutter has an actual plan for what he's doing.
No.
He's about to become the vice president of an anti-terrorism unit for an airline. And he's like, oh, okay, I'll bring the plane down. I'll take one of his guys hostage and watch him kill another. Like it doesn't seem like he has any answer for him except for I can kick him hard. And so that's what also makes it seem like if he's just a guy who kicks really hard, why the fuck make him a security expert? It makes
I love
no
that
sense.
Apparently not. I mean, just kind of skip to the end when they're having their fight on the plane. His plan is to just repeatedly kick him in the nuts.
Yes, just blast his nuts. Just
like four times.
Just absolutely blow his nuts apart with his feet. 100%.
It was crazy too, because like, to skip to that scene, it almost seemed like the movie was suggesting like, does he have a steel like underwear or something, because he kept kicking him in the nuts, and it almost seemed like the movie was suggesting, haha, that's no effect on me.
I think it was more like, remember, the very first thing we see Bruce Payne say is like, there won't be any pain. Like, it's like he's so tough he doesn't feel pain. But again, it doesn't make any fucking sense. And so again, at this point, back in the middle of the movie, 44 minutes in, when John Cutter jumps off the plane.
They're landing in like a small airport, which I thought was going to be a big deal or something.
Yeah, it doesn't really come up. They landed a small Louisiana airfield, which is like a stone's throw from a carnival. And Cutter and Marty are about to jump off at touchdown. Marty's caught by Mr. Forget, and Cutter gets kicked out of the plane. He's immediately arrested by local sheriff Leonard Biggs, who thinks he's a terrorist and takes him. Yeah, it's real fucking awful.
You fell out of the bottom of the plane. You must be a terrorist. Yeah,
well, and he takes it, God, it's so stupid. He takes him to the plane, then he takes him to the field tower, and Rain calls the tower and says, hey, I need refueling, at which point I'll get rid of half of these passengers. I'll let them off. And for every, like, what, 3 minutes, 4 minutes of resistance or problems, I'm going to kill a bunch of passengers.
And it's crazy, too. He's like, by the way, there was a black guy, yes, one of my guys, who fell off the plane. He tried to betray me.
He's very sly, or whatever he says.
He betrayed me. He's very convincing.
Yeah.
Do with him what you will. And then the sheriff's like, all right, the terrorist said
I
can kill
it.
You. And that's where the line where he says, now, you know, if you were me, what would you do? And then Cutter says, kill myself, which is awesome.
But I do have my notes. He finally beats the shit out of those cops. I have no patience for this hillbilly nonsense.
He throws one of them over the staircase, too.
Yeah, it makes it. And then and as he's leaving, he's just like decking and kicking other cops who weren't involved at all. Which is
fine. And
then
he steals like this bike, the motorcycle cop's motorcycle, and it like, and Wesley Snipes on a motorcycle, a cop motorcycle, does look kind of cool.
Yes, and because he's also wearing a leather jacket that he took from the cargo. So while he's doing this, Charles Rain and his men are trying to escape into the carnival and then disappear.
By just like slowly walking off, like, don't mind us. The way it's framed is so funny.
It was one of those things too, like with the hostages getting released. It felt like nobody, I mean, maybe this is like close to the incompetence, I guess, of the Louisiana police, but it just felt like no one was there to greet the passengers off. It just felt very like empty or something.
Yeah. It's framed really weird, too, because initially when they get off, they're doing what they should be doing, running and scared. Like, we got to get as far away from that plane as possible. But then when Wesley Snipes comes up later, you see them just calmly walking as if they're just regularly getting off the flight. It's so strange.
It's just weirdly staged, that whole part.
Yeah,
that whole chunk. Because then, I'm not sure, I might have missed this. Do you guys know how Cutter knew that they were going to be at the carnival?
Does he see them walking away from the plane as the passengers are walking off?
He just knows, like, that's where they're going to go, I guess.
It's so strange.
This middle chunk of the movie is bizarre because it's like Rain's whole plan here is to just escape. He wants to get away. So there's no reason for him to engage with Wesley Snipes when they see him. It's like, no, but we got to kill him first.
Yes. According to the Chattopedia, Rain and some of his men, Biggs gives the go-ahead for refueling, and as the passengers are freed, Rain and some of his men escape from the plane. Cutter recognizes the passenger release as a diversion. So I guess he just knows it's a diversion, and that, I guess, we can relate back to, oh, well, he's an expert at this. Again, he's done a terrible job.
I'm the best.
But he's an expert.
He's the best.
And so he's the best, I guess. And so at this point, at least five or six, you know, a half dozen people have been killed because of his actions, but okay. So he knows it's a diversion, and I guess, yeah, he's like, well, the only place that there is something worth diverting from is him escaping to the carnival. It's a clear place to go to, so I guess that's how he knows to get there. The FBI agents arrive at that moment. They fucking put Rain back on the plane after Cutter kills, like, two or three of his guys in the fucking carnival. Rain and Cutter both get put back on the plane so that they can have a fight in the air.
They managed to capture Cutter again. And it's crazy. This movie is
capture Rain again.
They capture Rain again. And just when you think it can't get any worse, we get one of the worst scenes you could have in an action movie. We're not so different, you and I. We're both killers.
It's a little rough. And they're like, okay, we're doing the hostage prep, but, you know, Cutter's the only one who knows who the other terrorists are, so he has to, they all have to surround the plane, and he has to look at it through his binoculars and see, okay, we can shoot now. And they give him the cue to shoot, but we see the sniper's scope go from Rain to the FBI agents taking him. Oh no, that's right. The doofy guy with the knife down in the galley is also a fucking crack shot sniper. That's right. Yeah. They're all insane trained killers, even though they don't look like it, which is fine. You can be a trained killer with a gun. I buy it. You can be a little wiener boy. But if you're a little wiener boy with a knife, I don't trust that you're actually as tough as the movie wants me to think you are. So then he has to get in the car with fucking Biggs, and he says, you need to drive as fast as you can, and Biggs and Cutter have this fucking back and forth, which makes you think, like, was the whole movie supposed to be about these two guys coming from two different places? Because Cutter's black as hell, and Biggs is southern as hell, and we know what that means, because the fucking carnival is flying 9,000 Confederate flags over everything.
Oh my god, yes.
And so then they're talking shit to each other, which is fun. You know, he's like, oh, I can drive that fast. You know, I haven't had a challenge like that since high school. Cutter says, I can't believe you went to high school. I didn't know you guys did that down here. You know, whatever. He gives him his this fucking movie does this so much, where it makes a meal out of an idea and then immediately discards it. So Biggs, you know, Cutter's like, hey, give me a gun. Biggs gives him a gun. He says, I need you to take really good care of this. It's my wife's gun. Cutter gets out of the car, gets onto the plane, it immediately falls down on the ground. That's it, period, the end. Why even waste the lines about how fucking this gun is special?
It does come back at the end. He asks, hey, where's my wife's gun?
It's not like a thing. Like, he doesn't, like, find it on the ground
or
something.
He just says, hey, have you seen my wife's gun or something? And it's like, no, okay, fucking cool.
Well, then
he
says, good night, Cutter. Good night, Biggs. Fucking,
and that's the
throw
movie.
All my popcorn at the screen.
And
good
then
job.
I was just like, at the end, I'm like, it's like the end of an episode, and it's supposed to go like, Passenger 57 is filmed in front of a live studio. Like, it kind of has that, like, vibe at the end where they're like, it's like, good night. Like, that's they do that at the end of every episode of the show, you know, like.
Yeah.
And then the soft jazz comes in again.
So, my last couple of notes that I have, this is basically what happens, right? So, yeah, Cutter gets back on the plane. He comes up through the wheel well or something.
In a pretty impressive stunt. It looks like Wesley Snipes is actually doing
that. He's probably doing it, you know, and he gets on the plane and then he kicks Rain's nuts to death and then they land and then, yeah, fucking.
He slaps the shit out of Liz Hurley. You remember that?
Like, oh, yes, he does. He does.
Oh, yeah. And again, the movie points out, he literally says something like, such a shame. She's such a babe.
Dude, it's just wild. It's insane.
Well, they make a meal. Speaking of making a meal, like when she gets put in the cop car, they make a meal out of that, too.
They hold on her for so long.
Like, is she going to do something?
Or like, like, she's going to be the bad in the next one. You know?
Is she going to be the villain in Passenger 58?
Yeah, yeah.
Or is she just so hot that the camera can't leave her alone?
I think that's
makes
what
no
it
fucking
is.
Sense.
Look, so, she's beat up, but she's still hot. Like, it's almost
speaking,
like that.
Speaking of her and the rest of the crew, Rain's crew, they remind me of Bane's crew from The Dark Knight Rises, because they're all, like, ready to die for the cause.
Oh, yeah.
Right? They're like, he's like, they have, you know, you guys are all going to be here. I'm going to escape, and you guys have the plans. And they're, and it's like, well, why don't they all just escape with the passengers? You know, it's like, oh, no, to make the diversion work, you know? It's interesting that he has he's just this terrorist with these ideologues who are like, we're fucking down for the cause wholeheartedly. And yes, the camera
fire rises, Cutter.
Yeah. They'll expect three of us in the plane. And then, you know, at an hour and real quick, at an hour and 10 minutes in the movie, right? So Cutter jumped off the plane at 42 minutes. At an hour and 10, a half hour later, he gets back on the plane. There is only 12 minutes left of the movie, including credits. He is on a plane in a movie that is 84 minutes. He's on a plane only like less than 30 of them total. What the fuck? He's barely passenger 57.
It's so crazy too, because it's like, as you said, like, what's his plan? He has no plan. He's like, I only got one more guy to deal with. After he punches Elizabeth Hurley, all he does is just walk up to him, kick him in the nuts repeatedly, and then push him out. And I will say this. I laughed so hard when we see him like spinning in the air as he falls to his death.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
That was pretty well done.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, I mean, not well done,
for those,
but, like,
those fall, watching someone fall, see, like, that one looked better than the usual, you know?
Yeah, it looked better than most. it wasn't like RoboCop where Rain's arms grew, like, 5 feet and he had, like, mantis arms, you know?
Holy shit. So, guys, we were talking about the cast. All these people's names pop up. You're like, whoa, them. There was a name I saw, and I was like, I wonder. And that name was Ernie Lively. Ernie Lively plays Chief Leonard Biggs, the sheriff. Ernie Lively is, of course, the father of actors Eric Lively and Blake Lively.
Whoa.
Whoa!
That's kind of crazy, right? That just feels crazy.
That's wild.
That's pretty crazy. Wow. That's Blake Lively's All right. dad.
Yep, yep. So, I have a question here. That's it. The whole movie, we got through all 84 minutes. It probably took
us... That guy gets kicked in the nuts repeatedly, gets thrown off the plane.
Yeah.
And then
him and Marty, I guess, are in love at this point, and they run off. They walk off.
It also begs the question, like, is he still calling her Lisa? Like, is he going to be like, you're Lisa now?
Yeah, he took a few bad blows to the head in saving that plane. How do you guys feel Chief John Cutter... Veteran law enforcement official turned airline security expert.
Supposedly
dedicated soldier.
How does he
rank up to other heroes in this realm of movie? Now, this realm of movie, I think, includes, yeah, obviously Die Hard. I think it includes Under Siege, right? I think Casey Ryback is in the conversation. Who else? Who do we think fits this mode?
What's Keanu's name in Speed?
Keanu Reeves and Speed.
Jack. Something.
Jack. It's for sure Jack, yeah.
It's definitely Jack. I don't remember what his last name is.
We gotta have the full name. We need the full
All right,
name.
Look it up.
It's Travin?
Traven. Jack Traven. What a name.
Is it Travis? No, Traven?
Traven?
It's Jack Traven.
Jack Traven.
But it might be Travis.
It's always Jack or John.
Jack or John, yeah.
Well, because it's a classic name. Speaking of, we got like John is the name, I think, in Cliffhanger, right? With Sly.
Jack Ryan.
Jack Ryan Shadow Recruit.
Jack Shepard.
Gabe Walker. Yeah, Gabe Walker is Cliffhanger. The 1995 action.
Well,
so where does John Cutter rank in all of these, in your opinion?
Not,
your estimation?
Not well. I mean, he's definitely got the action juice, but like... He needs to go through a few more training courses.
He needs his own thing. Too many things, maybe. Too much paprika on the sandwich, as they must say.
He's got too much mustard, yeah.
And but
there's also some 80s holdovers. Like, I love when he's driving this red Corvette to work.
That's his car.
That was my favorite part, I thought, you know, when it cut to that in that song. It was very, you know... New City, New Jack City song. I don't know. Uh-huh. Something.
See, that's the opening for the TV show Passenger 57. He's like driving on the freeway in his red Corvette, you know?
I don't know. There's elements of good stuff, but it's a little bit too of a mishmash, you know, of things.
Yeah, like you think, do you, the way I'm hearing it and the way I'm thinking of it is his character isn't defined enough to stand up. Like, because he's a security expert and a cop and a this and a that, supposedly.
And he's smart. And he's like, you know, he's fast talking, whatever it
is. He can speak 12 languages.
Because I could see a version of this movie where you do have the security expert, and the security expert is not a fucking, like, karate dojo master. That movie would be a little bit more boring, but I could see a guy who's like, no, I know these planes inside and out, and I can crawl around in them and cause it to, like, set, like it's Home Alone in air.
Maybe Clint East, like, a little older, too, would be more better if he was, like, a retired guy that's, like, training.
There's a whole genre of movie. It's a genre of everything: TV, movies, books, whatever. And it's called like proficiency porn, right? John Wick is that. And Liam Neeson in the first Taken is.
Oh yeah, definitely.
When the people have a certain set of skills and they are actually very good at just those skills, and then we watch the whole movie of them just being really good at it, it like it's good. You're like, damn, this is fun. Wesley
Snipes. That's the problem. John Cutter isn't very good,
right? And if he is, then they need to show us what it is a security expert for airlines does that he brings to it. Because what we see him do before he's on the plane, the thing that tells us that he's an expert is he says, "You do whatever the terrorists tell you." And the first thing he does is goes crazy and starts karate chopping. And it's awesome.
Gets a couple
but it also means
killed.
It makes it go like, okay, so he's not actually like, we're not going to watch this guy use special skills that only a security expert knows. We're just going to watch him karate kick people in the
nuts.
Yeah,
like in that simulation scene, shouldn't there be like another part where he does something that like everyone is like helps her or something like that? Like maybe like there is a moment, like, but no, it's more of just like he failed her.
There's no arc there. Yeah, he just ends it right there. There's no, that's why I'm like, I was so confused because I was like, okay, he says, you know, you got to do whatever they say. I could see that then if the hijacking starts and he does whatever they say and then he realizes that's not going to work. And then his arc is, okay, I have to take action. He learns from her and that's a fucking arc. But that doesn't happen.
There's not like her second lesson. Like, it should be like her second lesson is actually on the plane in a real scenario, and something happens. But there's not really that. There's no.
Well, it seemed like it was almost leading up to that. Like, it was almost leading up to that, I thought, because, like, it kept cutting. As he's struggling with Rain at the end, when right before he pushes him out of the plane, it cuts back to her, and there's the gun. I'm like, is she going to be the one to, like, take care of Rain, you know? Like, is that her lesson? I don't know. It doesn't do anything with
that. Yeah, it just doesn't. And so it's like, when I think about comparison to those other people, right? Die Hard. What is Die Hard? The whole point of Die Hard is he is a cop, so he's like got some skills, but he is a normal guy in this situation.
Out of place, you know.
And he's so out of place, he's getting his ass kicked, he's walking around, his feet are all bleeding.
He's trying everything he can to get the cops to come to take care of this situation.
If we think about Speed, what's Speed? Well, he's a cop on the bus, and he is, I mean,
he's involved, but he's a bomb expert.
Keanu Reeves is he's a bomb expert, and the movie's about bombs, and we see that is a thing that they're trying to do. And mostly he's also helping Sandra Bullock drive the bus fast, so it's like it's a two-hander in that way. She's always doing something. In Passenger 57, Marty leaves the movie for like the 34 minutes in the middle.
It's like Air Force One. Like, the conflict is, like, the movie starts, he's the president, he's like, we will never give in to terrorist demands. And that's kind of the conflict in the movie. He's like, will I give in to terrorist demands? Oh, he's killing more people. Oh, I can't do it. You know, there's that conflict there. Mm-hmm.
And they're just, they're like talking in that movie, you know, and then there's action scenes and stuff. They actually, like, you know. That's what you do on a plane movie, is like, all you can do is really have like monologues with each other, you know?
Yeah. Because it's a small, it's an enclosed, it's a small space,
and the action scenes are like them like flying off the plane and like holding on and stuff in that movie, you know. Or people, people trapped behind doors. Because I guess Air Force One is like a big old plane, but
It's got multiple layers because So, anyways, I was just curious because I think John Cutter could be a guy. He could be one of the guys, you know. He could be one of the guys.
It makes me wonder, because Wesley Snipes was in and Ryan. You have a connection to this movie. I know you'll recall this. Wesley Snipes, a couple years after this, was in another airplane action movie called Drop Zone. Now, Brian, you have a Drop Zone story.
I don't know if it's my story, but I remember kind of. I guess I remember someone staying at the Hollywood, Planet Hollywood in Vegas. And I guess every room is like themed after something, like a different movie. And this particular, I think it was a friend. I don't remember if I was staying there or not, but someone I was with, their whole room was Drop Zone stuff.
Is Drop Zone good?
It's also,
that's,
he's also an air marshal.
If it evolved from Passenger 57, if Drops, I almost want to watch Drop Zone now just to see if Wesley Snipes was able to get a better plane action movie than this.
It says, I'm down.
A U.S. Marshal.
He was in U.S. Marshals with Tommy Lee Jones.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Is that a spinoff?
It has a big airport or airline sequence.
Oh,
is Drop Zone like a spinoff of U.S. Marshals?
No, that's a great question, though. I think U.S. Marshals does...
It's a spinoff of The Fugitive.
That's right, of The Fugitive.
Well, because he says, the Drop Zone description, when a U.S. Marshal has to break up a drug smuggling gang, he has to take to the skies, you know?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you just got to take to those skies.
I think we might need to earmark Drop Zone for a future Apocalypse Video episode.
I think we should watch...
That one's directed by John Badham. Freaking.
Oh, really? He directed War Games.
Yeah, and our favorite movie, Saturday Night Fever. You
know? Oh yeah, that's wow, what a career that guy had.
Also, I think we should earmark Rising Sun, the movie that Wesley Snipes did right after this with Sean Connery. It's a buddy cop movie. It's based on a Michael Crichton novel.
That movie is insane.
I believe it.
Yeah, so it's just, it's,
so if anything, we should
it's a
thank
movie,
really, we should thank Passenger 57 for the bounty that it is providing us, these other movies that we need to watch.
I would say I would thank Passenger 57 for the bounty of the juice of Wesley Snipes. Because I think, you know, it definitely
was... Well, this kind of set him going, man. This movie was a relative hit.
Yeah, I mean, it made, like, it cost like 15 mil and made like 70 or something, so it, listen, I think he was already an actor and he was doing a good job and he was in good movies, but if Passenger 57 had to exist so that all of these other movies that, as we discussed, take it and really figure out how to make it work, cool.
I've been
a little
worse
boring.
Flights than Passenger 57 before.
Yeah, I've watched worse movies than this, for sure.
I think you mentioned, like, if it was like a little bit later, where they'd probably like it would start with, you know, him arriving at the airport, basically, or something.
Yeah.
Like, I think the thing is, I was thinking about, too, because I think this is a B movie, even if it was, like, not, it wasn't stuff. It does have that vibe, and just, like, the back and forth, and a little cheaper. But I think, like, a movie like this today probably would have a big star in it. And it would look like shit. And it would be, like, not on a plane, a real plane. Or it would
well,
be...
Ryan, today people can't make movies in the wasteland.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe I they can. So. We're on a plane.
I guess I'm talking about, like, in, new. Like, you know, the you know, mid to 220s, you know, 2020s.
Right, yeah, the 20, the
where
20
it was just,
FX,
like, it would
yeah.
have been, like, you wouldn't have had, been on a real airport or anything, and it would have just, people
well,
wouldn't
tell
have
been
killed
get.
And shot in the fucking face like this movie has, you know?
You yeah. don't get movies like Passenger 57, you get movies like Flight Risk.
Yeah, or the Gorge, you know?
Or Nonstop.
Nonstop or Unstoppable.
Unstoppable.
I don't know. I think Unstoppable's
great.
Supposed to be good.
Unstoppable's
yeah,
great.
I was going to say. I think
that's a movie like this a little bit. But
well, yeah, because well, it's Speed on a Train, right? Okay, sorry. Go ahead, David. Take control of
well,
your show.
I think you had a kind of a good point here. It's just like, I wouldn't recommend this movie, but like at the same time, if this movie didn't come out, would we have gotten, you know, Wesley
like Blade,
Snipes' career trajectory,
you know, or something,
this.
You know? Or...
Yeah,
I mean, he's
so it's almost like I don't like this movie. It was boring in parts, especially in the middle.
Really,
but it's almost
that,
like I have to.
I was in it, even though it was cheesy middle, and there was a lot of like yeah. there was a lot of like you know tropey stuff. But I was having fun. It was
agreed.
Really when they landed. I was like I was kind of done with it. By
yeah,
then.
Ryan, you're telling me in a movie that pitches itself based off this like insane, intense, high flying plane action that when the movie lands in the middle of it, it starts to suck.
Yeah,
I.
That's what sucks.
Man, I don't know what to say. That sounds
so
crazy.
So we can
crazy.
Recommend half of this movie, kind of, or maybe a third of this
I
movie?
Don't know. There's moments that are interesting, but it doesn't really recover, I think, at all.
I think when the plane lands, it does not regain its speed. It doesn't get back up to cruising altitude.
Nailed it with the end when it feels like a TV show is ending. You know, like, Pastor 57 is filled with fun of a life.
Like, yeah, the way they, I don't, like, when they're buddy-buddy, I was just like, what? Like, I was just like, why? Yeah, you're right. You're making a meal out of shit. And it seems like very just, like John Cutter himself, it's ramshackle trying to piece together something. Yeah.
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 The history with Tom Sizemore, ramshackle, doesn't really come up. I mean, we see him at the end, right? He's like, what am I going to say to these reporters? And it's like, why would you ever ask that?
But then
that
he
of
immediately
Wesley
takes to it. He's like, hey, my name is
Yeah, he says, doesn't he say, like, you're whatever? The one that's good with the reporters or something? Like,
it makes
like,
no
it's
sense.
It's like, what?
It
make, yeah. Like, we it, never saw that before. Yeah.
This movie does a thing that I think other movies do with more established actors that you hear about, and you're like, oh, they must be problems. And it's like, that can't be true of this one because it's not that late in the Wesley Snipes. He's not that powerful in his career yet, right?
No.
Where this movie, like, every scene, everyone has to suck his dick about how good he is at everything, right? Like, we've heard about it about The Rock, right? He's in a movie and he's like, oh, my character is XYZ, but somebody else will meet me and say, but you're the best at ABC. And it's like, oh, that's right. He's the best at everything. This movie has that problem, but you have no reason to believe that Wesley Snipes is ever that good about anything. It's like people just say that. You're the one with reporters. When has that ever been a thing that has been established?
You mentioned The Rock and speaking of diehard ripoffs, I think another movie we need to earmark for future Apocalypse video, Skyscraper. I've heard about that movie and it sounds incredible.
It sounds incredible. Well,
anywho, so it sounds like pretty much around the board non-recommend.
Yeah, but I appreciate the recommendation from the.
Yes, I'm glad I watched it. That's what I would say. This is a movie that I have like I've heard.
It
about
was a
it.
Fun discussion.
Yes, 100%.
No, yeah, and it's like I don't know when will I get a chance to watch this? You know, maybe a movie. This is something that maybe was on like early Showtime HBO. I didn't have cable like premium cable in the 90s, but like I bet it would have been something that people probably caught a lot, you know.
And can I say this movie does have some it does have some budget on the screen. Like there's a moment when they're getting on the plane for the second time in the third act of the movie when one of the bad guys shoots an Uzi at like one of those airport like car ladder things. Mm-hmm. He shoots the windshield and somehow this causes this thing to blow up in a gigantic explosion. And it's like legitimately well done and well shot, that explosion. I'm like, oh, I did a little golf clap at that moment on the plane. I was like, that was pretty good.
yeah, there's something there. I got lost in the sauce here. The writers of this movie are two guys, David Lowery and Dan Gordon.
That name sounds familiar.
David Lowery has done a lot of things. He did Here's why you know him, David. Star Trek V, The Final Frontier.
Of course!
He wrote that one. He also did an uncredited write on The Good Son. He also wrote the 1993 Three Musketeers.
Mr. Cutter, don't fuck with me.
He did Money Train, another Wesley Snipes vehicle.
Yeah.
He did Tom and Huck, weird. Lakeview Terrace. So this guy went on and made some movies. But Dan Gordon, I think he might be the key to all of this. Oh. Because Dan Gordon, he wrote Passenger 57, and then the next year he wrote and executive produced one of the most incredible films ever made. That's right, Surf Ninjas.
Wow.
And I love Surf Ninjas. And I think maybe that's this guy's... He also did Wyatt Earp in 1994. He did Rambo Last Blood, got a story by Craig in 2019.
Oh my God, that movie is horrible.
He was also responsible for Highlander the series. I think Dan Gordon is like, this is his zone, is this kind of B-level action, high concept thing. And I think that's his zone. And he did like the Zorro TV show in 1989. You know what? Good job, Dan Gordon. I'm here for all of that.
Wow.
But, you know, he couldn't go on to make Roughneck Starship Trooper Chronicles in 1999 for television if he didn't make Passenger 57 in 1992.
So, we're so indebted to Passenger 57.
Yeah, we are all connected by its web.
It sounds like they gave in to Nick's demands. He's now on a morning again. How about that?
Wow, that's great. That's honestly, I don't know how I feel about this whole subject.
But he's a Morton again?
Well, that's actually not too bad. Then we got that Taco Bell supply coming in again. We lost it for a while.
Listen,
now it's back. I'm presuming.
I'm happy to see a person who comes into the store regularly rise to power again. Given in the terrorist demands, you know, it's a touchy subject. It's difficult. And it's just wild that our show about Passenger 57 is nestled inside of this tale of hijacking.
Well, it's also surprising that, like, I didn't realize we still had a functioning government. I don't even know who Nick was calling for these demands.
It's not for us to know. We just got to get to that Michael Bay Film Festival.
Yes. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, we're landing in Louisville. Oh, son of a bitch. Okay, we got rerouted. Can you believe? This is the worst thing that has ever happened to us on this show.
The worst.
Yeah, howdy. I walk. Whatever, I don't know. I'm trying to think of like some hillbilly nonsense. These guys.
Y'all don't have any gators on there, do you?
Bye.
Riding or walking?
Walk.
5 miles to town.
No thanks.
Cutter, you didn't happen to see my wife's gun, did you? Good night.
Good night, Biggs.
We'll be right back.